Hey, welcome back. Time for some collective wisdom. As we advance the cannabis revolution, one conversation at a time. With our show host, Lisa Tolner from Sensi Products. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Paul.
This whole idea of us coming together with some collective wisdom, boy, it's sure needed now because this industry is being born as we speak and there's a lot of chaos and confusion going on. So I look forward to the collective wisdom that you're going to collect each week here.
Great. I am too. I'm very excited. And really, the purpose of collective wisdom is to advance the cannabis revolution. We want to listen to diverse perspectives, and we want to improve our health and wellness. We want to help cannabis businesses operate more effectively, and we want to help navigate all the new strengths, challenges, threats, and opportunities that are inherent in the birth of this new industry.
All right. Well, what wise sage did you bring with you here today?
Well, I am delighted to welcome Shelly McKay. And Shelly really has an amazing background. She's the co-founder and health and wellness director of Cannabis Works, which is a fully licensed dispensary in Santa Ana, California.
And that's cannabis with a K.
Cannabis with a K. And she is dedicated and driving so much in the cannabis space by means of education. She has been involved for about 5 years. She works on business development, investing, product specialization, patient support, cannabis coaching, and product knowledge guidance. And she is deeply invested in the medical and research side of the business with a real passion for the benefits of cannabis. And while she's been working for Cannabis Works, she has identified the need for education and destigmatizing the plant, which we all believe in. She has worked with countless cultivators, distributors, and vendors to find the very best methods that ensure patients get knowledgeable information and reliable, clean, and tested products. She's an active member in the Society of Cannabis Clinicians, OC Normal, OC Women Grow Market Leader. She's also taught educational courses for Green Flower Media on cannabis patient care, Long Life Learning Institute on Healthy Not High. She has done cannabis education with the Budtender Fight Club in Santa Ana, as well as medical cannabis education sessions for clinicians in a collaboration with MaxLove, and her list of accomplishments and certifications continues. So she is just really out there learning and educating and just passionate about what this plant can do to improve our quality of life. So, Shelly, welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me today. I look forward to talking about the benefits of cannabis and, just what I've seen over the last few years.
Fantastic. Well, we've got a couple of really interesting things we want to touch on today, but one of the first things I'd like to get your insights on, which is a really hot topic right now, is the vape pen crisis, or vapey, as it's referred to. And there's a lot of misinformation. It's coming at a pivotal time for the cannabis industry, where we're just now coming out of compliance and we're teetering as it is to really make it and be successful. And yet, now this vape pen crisis, where we're getting glumped into this larger issue. You've been working and trying to understand and wrap your brain around that. Tell us where you think we are and what needs to get done.
So right now we're at a very critical stage. The CDC and the Department of Health has issued warnings to not vape any e-cig or cannabis product. And, and at the dispensary, we have definitely seen our sales drop with our vapor cartridge products. And, a year and a half ago, we've been open since February of 2018 at Cannabis Works. And we knew that vaping was one of those it's one of those things that we knew wasn't really, it's a newer form of smoking, but you're not combusting. So we saw it as, and we still see it as, a benefit to a patient that needs a quicker onset. So right. So when we were sourcing pens and cartridges, I follow science. And so I was studying the effects of what could even be a problem with the additives. And so polyethylene glycol, PEG, and propylene glycol, PG, were definitely one of those substances, or two substances, that once heated would convert to formaldehyde, which is a known carcinogen. So I knew from the get-go that I didn't want any of those ingredients in our cartridges. So that was part of the sourcing of what companies we were even going to go with. So if you had, you know, any of those additives, we weren't going to go with that, but also with vegetable glycerin. And then even with the pen's wicking system, there's what's called a cotton wick, and then there's also a silica wick. So a silica wick, there's two different types. There's crystalline, and then there's amorphous. And crystalline is what's commonly, that's the cancer-causing agent when heated. It's common in silicosis with masonry workers. But the amorphous it's a used technology. The amorphous silica wick is used in some of these pens. So we further investigated the safety of that and wanted to know what the companies were doing to make safe products before we, you know, brought them into our store.
Excellent. Right. Now, I think one big aspect of this that has become so challenging for not only the cannabis space, but we're getting lumped into the bigger media story. So it definitely feels like the media is not doing the proper homework. It's coming at a difficult time for our industry. And it's really, I would call it ineffective reporting on their part. And where they're just throwing us in with the vape pens.
Correct.
With the e-cigarettes. And so it's really unfortunate because if you look at a lot of the studies that are starting to come to light now that the cannabis industry is sort of fighting back and trying to, again, in survival mode, you know, we have a 30-year success with no issues mm-hmm. of vaporizing, and 15 of those years have been commercially available. So it's something that we all need to be able to stand up for and educate. Now, would you say from a dispensary perspective that there are still vendors coming and knocking at your door with products that don't meet your standards, or have most of those gone off to the illicit market now?
So, well, to answer that question, we are highly regulated from under, you know, three different entities in the state: the Bureau of Cannabis Control, the Department of Public Health, and then USDFA. So we are required under these three entities to test our products before we even get them into the store. So we have to obtain what's called a certificate of analysis, which is testing these vapor carts for not only, pesticides, but heavy metals, and, you know, microtoxins and lead. I mean, California is so stringent on what we have to test for. So we cannot even bring in cartridges that have these. If it has any sort of pesticide, it's not going to pass testing. We will never see it at the store. So we can't even bring in stuff that hasn't been tested. That would have these ingredients that the illicit market is definitely showing testing positive for. And, I want to point out that there's a company out there. It's a cannabis testing company called CannaSafe, and they are doing an independent investigation regarding these vapor carts and what is causing these deaths. And they're finding that out of all testing they've done, They're pulling products from the illicit market and then also the legal market, and they are finding that the legal market is testing clean across the board, 100% zero pesticides. That is the opposite for the illicit market. Mm-hmm. It is testing high in three pesticides that are obviously deleterious to our health. Mycobutanol is one of them. When converted, they're harmful if swallowed, let alone when heated. So the CDC is seeing, chemical burns. They're also seeing different types of pneumonia. And so it's very important, too, if you're going to continue using a vapor cartridge, to have a tested, clean product.
Absolutely. So I think one thing that I'm hearing, and the one thing that I think is paramount for us to, as a new industry, that we need to do is we need to educate the media so that they get it right, because clearly they're part of the problem. They're disseminating incorrect information, and ultimately you know, consumers need to know the difference, and they right now they don't. So incredible confusion. Now, it's going city by city, but a lot of cities are doing just blanket bans on any kind of vaporized product, and it is. I understand the fear factor, but I also feel that, again, education to the rescue here, folks. We really need to move it to that point. Now, what's happening? Do you know what's happening at the state level? Have you been hearing anything on regulatory legislation that's coming down through the state?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yesterday, October 16th, the California legislature, they held one of two hearings that they are going to be holding on vapor pen safety. This includes tobacco products, e-cigs, THC products. And basically, it's an overview of issues related to vaping, including the health effects and the regulatory landscape. What are they going to do? So Governor Newsom has allocated $20 million for a public awareness campaign about the safety of vaporizing. And, you know, the enticement, of course, of the e-cig products, the tobacco products to the youth. Mm-hmm. But they're going to be holding another hearing after they to come up with a regulatory framework of what we're going to be doing with these vapor cartridges in the state of California. You know, whether they're taking flavor additives away, they're going to do that with e-cigs for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that Walmart has already stopped even selling e-cig products, but, you know, we just don't know what they're going to regulate and what they're going to say in the end as to what can be added to an actual cannabis vapor cartridge.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so it's a dynamic concern. It's a tough problem. And there's a lot of smart people that are going to be working on it. The media needs to get it together and really put adequate information out there so that not only consumers are informed, but so the cannabis industry doesn't get a black eye for no reason.
Right.
So it's definitely a topic that we're all going to be looking for and trying to add our own support and education to as we move forward. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk about another big thing right now, which is public awareness of the CBD and the difference between hemp-derived CBD, CBD isolate, cannabis-derived CBD. CBD is a hot topic right now. You're starting to see it become more mainstream. I was in Bed Bath & Beyond. There was an end cap, you know, with all kinds of CBD products, and you stop and read the labels, and some are isolate. Some had a tiny, tiny amount of CBD in it, barely recognizable. Most of them, only one product out of about 10 had any kind of lab reference. So it is a heavily unregulated, and but yet people are drawn to it. They want to know that there are some new ways that they can improve their health and wellness. So, and I know you do a lot of work in this area. So please share with us your thoughts on the whole CBD issue right now.
Sure. So, CBD, cannabidiol, is the non-psychoactive component in the cannabis flower, and also it's found in the hemp plant. And molecularly, the CBD is the same in both plants. CBD sourced from hemp is derived from the stalk and stems, and from the cannabis plant, it's in the trichomes, which is where you find the cannabinoids from the cannabis plant. So a big problem that I see, or I like to educate people about with hemp-derived CBD, is that, you know, there's not much oversight right now, even though the FDA is, you know, and the California Department of Health has said CBD cannot be put into used as a food additive. You know, the market is growing, and the CBD derived from the hemp plant, hemp is a known bioaccumulator. So when planted, it leaches heavy metals and toxins from the soil. So that, coupled with the fact that there is not oversight or regulation right now on CBD derived from hemp outside of the dispensaries, I would caution you, if there is not like a QR code on the product you are buying online or in a health food store, that can direct you to the company's website to find a COA, to know that the product is clean and tested, and what the potency is, like how much CBD really is in your product, I would caution you not to purchase it. So, you know, and then cannabis-derived CBD, it has a lot of different properties because the cannabis flower within the trichomes, it's not just CBD or THC. There's over 113 cannabinoids. They're still looking for more. And there's other compounds in the cannabis flower that is very beneficial when used together. So we like to call that synergy between CBD, THC, and other plant compounds that are in oils or, you know, a tincture you might find in a cannabis store. We call that the entourage effect, where the synergy of these compounds produce better effects than an isolated compound. So when you're going to also see in the market, they talk about, you know, an isolated CBD. So an isolated CBD is basically just that. It's just that compound. And so they will suspend that in a carrier oil such as MCT oil or, I mean, there's a lot of different things they're putting in it now. But it's an isolate, and they're showing even scientifically, you know, there's white papers written on this, that cannabidiol isolated, you would need to use far more, almost five times more the milligram strength to even perhaps feel the effects of cannabis that might have just a trace amount of THC, I'm sorry, CBD formulation that might have a trace amount of THC in it. And, you know, we have clients that come into the store that they're looking for help. They're looking for help with, you know, whether it's sleep, anxiety, pain. Those are the top three, really. And they say they've tried CBD. Their daughter gave it to them. They ordered it online. It didn't work for me. I tried it for, you know, a week. And when we give them the education about just the nuances, the difference between formulations, you don't know until you know, somebody can teach you that, you know, unless you're reading about it, you know, and studying about it. But people aren't doing that. It's the green rush too right now. And everybody is flocking to CBD. It's the new buzzword, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, it was in Bed Bath & Beyond. I saw it at, you know, a designer shoe warehouse the other day, you know.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. So the, so buyer beware.
Definitely.
Buyer beware. See if you can go to the website, get some more information, look for testing results, certificate of analysis. Other things that I can think of to look for would be the potency, how much CBD is in there. I was noticing I was in a fancy grocery store recently, and they had an area dedicated to CBD, and it was mostly edible products. There was a cookie and some truffles and so forth, and they were charging for a single truffle, which didn't even have, I think it might have had 15 milligrams of CBD, was $28. Now, granted, that was in a grocery store. You didn't have the excise tax and some of the other things that are burdening the cannabis industry. But still, less than 20 milligrams of CBD for $25.
That's outrageous.
Right.
And, you know, it also is, it kind of goes against the purpose of cannabidiol. Cannabidiol, you know, it's being, obviously it was approved as medicine last fall for Epidiolex, which is for seizure control.
Right.
But it also functions as an anti-inflammatory. And we all know that sugar is inflammatory. So I see, like, putting those two things together is like, why? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, and another thing, CBD does have interactions with medications. So, you know, there is a certain enzyme that breaks down a lot of different medications, and it's called cytochrome P450. And this enzyme also breaks down cannabidiol. So the easiest way to know if there's an interaction or possible interaction is if your pharmacist or doctor has informed you not to take your medication with grapefruit. So that, because that's the common indicator that it's using that enzyme to break down.
Wow, I see. Wow,
because it can also raise the serum levels of medication or lower it.
Right. No, that makes absolute sense. I mean, it just goes to show you how much more we need to learn and
Definitely.
Need to know about. We're at the tip of the iceberg. There is so much potential and so much promise for CBD and everything related to cannabis. And just another example of scratching the surface. But, you know, with the hard work that you're doing and so many great people out there that are passionate about getting to the truth and getting to the science behind it, we're going to be uncovering how this is going to benefit us and benefit humanity and their health for years to come. So it's just very exciting activity. I want to switch lastly to talking about women in cannabis. I'm just so honored that you're here today and reading about all the incredible work that you're doing to help people and to educate. I mean, it's important work. It's one of the most important things we can do if we're truly going to adopt cannabis into society and have it be respected and have it really be considered as part of a health regimen. And I just think it's fabulous what you're doing. So what was your original passion for getting into this?
So I saw the benefits of cannabis firsthand from a dear friend who was diagnosed with stage 4 esophageal cancer. And he used cannabis as part of his regimen alongside chemo. And he outlived his diagnosis by 3 years, but it improved his quality of life immensely. And when I saw the benefits of that, I knew there was something more. There was something more to it. And I personally had suffered, I had a lot of orthopedic injuries. I was a gymnast for a lot of years. And just in my 40s, I had 5 surgeries in under 4 years. You know, it was my shoulder, my neck, my elbow, my knee. I had endometriosis. I had a lot of pain in my body. So I was on that pharmaceutical track where you go from one anti-inflammatory to another, and then I was having a lot of stomach issues. And it was just, you know, visit after visit, over 20 visits a year to the doctor. So when 3 years ago, when I started using oils for my own health, I no longer take Advil. I no longer take Aleve or Tylenol. I control pain and inflammation with oils, with different cannabinoids, not just CBD or THC, but CBG, THCV, mm-hmm. THCA, CBD. They're incredibly, they've been incredibly healing for me. So when I saw the benefit firsthand, mm-hmm. That's what, you know, put me into where I am, like today, you know, and that's why I continue to advocate for cannabis, mm-hmm. because it puts you in more of a proactive role with your health rather than reactive. Mm-hmm. And I found that, yes, it was very reactive. I suffer less GI problems now. I mean, it's just incredible how my health has improved just because I've been using these oils.
That's remarkable. It's wonderful. Well, Shelly, it has been great having you here. Wonderful to hear your story and all the important work that you're doing. Can't thank you enough. And high five, because I'm an old gymnast myself, so I can relate.
You get it.
Yeah, that's great. Well, and thank you for listening. This is Lisa Tolner, your host from Collective Wisdom. If you'd like to connect with Shelly, how can people connect with you?
Well, my Instagram is Shelly. I'm sorry, it's cannabis.shelly. And our
and
website.
Let's spell that for everybody.
Sure.
Here.
It's kannabis.shelly, shelly. Or my email address, you're welcome to email me, shelly@cannabisworks.com.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Shelly.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And we look forward to all the good work you're going to continue to do to advance the cannabis industry and help people live healthier, happier lives. Special thanks to Paul, our producer, and also to Janessa Rackley, our media coordinator. And you'll be able to listen to Collective Wisdom on all your popular podcast networks. And until next time, this is Lisa Tolner. Be well and prosper.